Blog Talk Radio.
Homie, I hope you see the big picture, cause everything ain't what it seems. And when you get what you ain't paid for, somebody owe, cause ain't a damn thing free. I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture. I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture. I hope you see the big picture. Somebody get paid just to polish it. Look the devil right in the eyes and won't acknowledge it. For some it's automatic that they turn into some college kids. But my kind won't make it out the hood without a scholarship. Faced with adversity that some will never understand. Why be in denial when you know you had the upper hand? Plan used to rally downtown in my city, and you wonder why the race relationship so shitty. Show no pity, that's the motto of the PC. It ain't just my city, it's all over the TV. Martin Luther King, I think about the dream he had for a nation that turned him less than 6 feet. And I ain't saying that the government sent a hit, but the timing sure make it a coincidence. I try to see the big picture through a small frame, and never take no wooden nickels when they all
homie,
change.
I hope you see the big picture, cause everything ain't what it seems. And when you get what you ain't paid for, somebody owe, cause ain't a damn thing free. I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture. I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture. I hope you see
the big picture's worth a thousand words. So when your words ain't visible, it cause concern. I live and learn to the point where I can see it coming. The loudest mouth in the room ain't really about nothing. That nigga bluffing, check his resume, it ain't legit. You know the one that bought the ocean but ain't got a ship. You know the one that bought the sixes but ain't got a whip. You know the one that bought the Tech 9 and ain't got a clip. These boys a trip, I done heard it all, seen it all before. Boys be more like shaved ice when they claim they Tony Snow. Say they Don Juan and got passport bitches, but why you in the club with them trash bags with you? Say you out there ballin' and you're coming up quick, but it ain't worth having things if you can't own shit. MC Bree told you ain't no future, no frontin'. Keep that shit to Birdman with all of that stunt. Homie, I hope you see the big picture, cause everything ain't what it seems. And when you get what you ain't paid for, somebody owe, cause ain't a damn thing free. I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture. I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture. I hope you see the big picture.
All right, welcome, welcome, welcome. Once again, it is Monday night, 7 p.m., so you know what that means. It is another broadcast from the Panther Party Radio Network, and this is The Big Picture with Melvin Seery Jr. Just want to welcome everyone listening online. Want to welcome everyone who is listening overseas. I got Ireland, I've got Germany, I have got Israel, I see now. My brothers and sisters in Nigeria. Who else? And I noticed that I'm getting a following over in Russia. Could it be because I keep calling y'all on y'all stuff now? I don't know. I'm worried about Brittany Griner. Y'all don't do nothing to that girl over there. Anyway, and as always, my listeners in Canada and here in the States, want to give a shout out. I try to do this every now and then to my brother, Throwboy Mike, Big Bull Entertainment, for the intro music. It was just funny how that whole thing came together. I appreciate him letting me use his talent. He's got some big things coming. I'm actually really trying to put some things together with him and some more artists, as well as not just from Texas, all over. Just a little project I would like to put together And here's some more positive type of influences coming out. And here's some positivity and message in the songs now. Also, I just think that would be something, I don't know, kind of beneficial to our youth as well, to show them that there's other types of artistry out there as opposed to what they're hearing now and what they're learning from what they hear now. And like I say, I just think it would be a positive project, and I want to try to reach out to as many artists as possible. And I'm looking to try to really get that going. I got another brother I'm trying to bring on board with me to help me get it going. Because, you know, I'm always on the road. I'm on the road right now. And about now, I'm rolling through Oklahoma. And, I'm doing my thing, you know, moving across this country. Like what I do. But nonetheless, I am wanting to cover a few topics so you all know how I do. Oh, and also, if you happen to be listening online or wherever you're listening from and would like to call in to comment on tonight's subject matter, feel free to call in, and that's on every show. Feel free to call in anytime. I have a live show going. I mean, and this is for anybody. Welcome dialogue. I just ask that you be respectful. Keep it respectful. As you know, I try to do. But I welcome any callers. Call in number 914-205-5538. Again, that is 914-205-5538. So I want to set the table real quick because I have a few things. The first thing I want to really get off my chest real quick is, and this, you know, is neither here nor there with me, and but I just wanted to make this suggestion real quick, and then I'm going to get into the meat and potatoes, and I've already got one of my brothers on the line I see now. I wanted to address something real quick, and this is going to be real quick so I can get off into my topic, and then I'm on a open mic because, I want to really dig off into what I want to talk about, and I just want to speak on it briefly, and then I'm opening up lines because I'm expecting some more callers other than my brother. And, I want to just really talk about some things. And matter of fact, I really am glad that my brother called in, because what I saw on his page I wasn't going to do a show tonight, but what I saw on his page kind of inspired me to go ahead and do this show that I wanted to do. Yeah, I'm glad to have him on. I wanted to say something about being respectful real quick, because right now people are being some kind of disrespectful, and I'm asking this of all of us. You know, in death, be respectful. Everybody has a family. Everybody has, well, not everybody, but some people have children. Everybody has a mother, father, uncles, aunts, brothers, sisters, nephews, nieces that love them. And you know, I'm speaking on the Kevin Samuels situation, and I'm going to just say this because I didn't really agree with the brother's approach. I'm just going to be real. I think, like my grandmother used to tell me, you could draw more bees with honey than you can with vinegar. So all I'm saying is, can we start being more respectful of one another, and especially in death? Because like I say, I didn't agree with the brother's message. I didn't agree with the brother's approach. I'll say that. Because I think that he could have been more uplifting as opposed to being more demeaning. Because some of the things that he said made sense and were spot on. But delivery is everything. And you want to really reach people and want people to accept your message, it's a way to deliver that message. So all I'm going to say is rest in peace to that brother, and my thoughts and prayers are with his family, children, you know, all that. Because the last thing that we need to do when somebody's death is be joyful about it. We get beat up out here in the real world every damn day, and we beat each other up more than any other ethnicity. I get sick of some of us. I'm just going to keep it real, and then I'm going to be done with this topic and get on into my meat and potatoes. But I get sick of some of us, how we talk one way but act another way. And how, what kind of person does that make you to be joyful in another person's death? Death coming to all of us. So just remember that. And I'm done with that topic. Rest in peace, Kevin Samuels. My thoughts and prayers, like I say, go out to his family, because we take enough abuse. And that's kind of what I wanted to talk about tonight. Just, like I say, I'm glad my brother's on the line, because I saw something that he posted. I just happened to jump on, I think it was Instagram earlier, and I saw something that he posted talking about family and how families used to be, and I really want to, when I open up the mics, I'm going to let him speak on that. And then I want to really just dig off into that subject, because that's kind of what I'm talking about, affirmation and accountability. You know, how do we move forward collectively? You know, because that's the whole thing. I've always said this, you know, we are damn good individually. I have no doubt in who and what we are individually. What we deal with, no other ethnicity could. Period. Point blank. So I want to talk about what we can do to move forward collectively. And a lot of that has to do with what I saw on the brother's page. You know, just family and taking responsibility in a society that was basically built to hold us back, you know. So let's talk about swallowing our egos and setting the example. nations to come, you know. And so I'm going to open up the brother's mic. I'm going to keep on with my commentary, and then I'm going to get done, and I'm going to allow him to speak, because I'm going to just really talk about myself for this moment. Because, see, the thing about accountability is proper accountability will bring about proper affirmation. And when you are out here trying to do the right thing, no matter what obstacle is in your way, positive affirmations will come your way. There is a such thing as negative affirmations. Understand that too. But right now I'm just talking about me. I'm going to give a short testimony, and then I'm going to let my brother talk, because I ain't no perfect man. I've said several times, and I have talked about on this platform, on every platform that I am involved in, I have talked about my gutter life. I have talked about how I used to live, how I used to move, how I used to do things that were not giving me positive affirmations. And you want that as you progress in life. Like my mom says, as you keep saying good morning, you want those positive affirmations happening in your life. You don't want to keep waking up facing negative affirmations, stumbling block affirmations because of your actions. And see, what happens to each and every one of us is determined by each and every one of us. You can't blame nobody for what's happening to you in your life, whether it's negative or positive, and especially the negative. And sometimes we have the notion to just blame everything on the system. Now, don't get me wrong, because, oh yeah, this system has played a very big role in our condition. A very big role, a consistent role in our downfall. Not blaming it all on the system. I want y'all to hear me and understand me on this point, because a lot of the things that some did to us, we now do to one another. And I hope y'all heard me loud and clear then. I might step on some toes, but the truth's supposed to hit you right in your mouth and maybe knock a tooth loose, make you appreciate having teeth. You know what I mean? Sometimes we need that punch in the mouth to loosen that tooth, to make us appreciate having what we do have. Because, see, what we do have and what we don't take advantage of and what we don't appreciate is each other. And I hope y'all hearing everything I'm saying right now. We are in a state of emergency as melanated people. And I'm going to say that so I can be specific to who I'm talking about, my brothers and sisters right now, because I'm worried about us and what we don't have right now, what we should have right now, and could have by simply rebuilding and reaffirming one another. See, we have to be affirmation to one another, and I'm getting ready to be through, because something happened to me over the weekend that really touched me. And not many people can read me and especially people that don't really know me, haven't known me for long. And I was hanging out Saturday, me and my queen, and this sister, I've been working with this group of poets. I like poetry, as y'all know. And one of the queens that follows the show read me to a T. And that is what we have to do. What I experienced Saturday is what I try to give. And the way she read me was affirmation that I'm on the right track. I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. And I'm going to say this too, because what you're supposed to be doing ain't going to be easy. Listen to what I'm saying. It ain't supposed to be easy. Because if you love what you're doing, you're going to do it regardless. I don't get paid to do this. But I don't have to get paid to do this, because this is what I love. I love my people. I want our condition to change. It's time for us to change our condition. And look, y'all, look, I'm talking to your spirit right now. I want y'all to really feel this, because when you doing what's right, right things will come, right things will happen. And that's why I'm saying we have to be self-affirming in this world now that we living in this world now that we moving in so recklessly. And yeah, I said that because some of us are moving very recklessly. We're not concerned about nobody but our selfish ass selves. And that's why I say we got to swallow our egos. Think about somebody besides yourself for once in life. I mean, bottom line, and I'm going to let my brother talk because I got your mic open, bro. But for once in life, can we get to where we supposed to be? Can we at least start heading in that right damn direction as people, as brothers and sisters? Because I'm tired of seeing us struggling. I'm tired of seeing us wanting for shit we already got. All we got to do is spread out well. Start spreading our well among each other. A lot of us may not be rich financially, but some of us are rich mentally, spiritually, and that's what we need right now. Yeah, we need the financial, but we got to first connect with one another, rebuild, reestablish what was taken from us. And the most important thing, Brother Q, and I'm going to let you speak, brother, because I want you to break down that post you said about your grandparents, and I want you to just speak that, because people need to hear that. We act like it's something wrong with love. No, it's something wrong with not loving. And we ain't loving each other a damn nothing. We got enough hate coming at us from the outside. We got to clean the inside up. Damn. Before we can clean anything, fix anything up, we got to clean the inside up. Like the old folks say, sweep around your own front door. Bruh, take it on over. And welcome. I appreciate you calling in.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Brother Melvin. And thank you for your passion. Thank you for your love, brother, for our people. Thank you for the service that, you know what I'm saying, that you provide for our people, the information that you spread. You know, it's an honor and a privilege to be associated with your brother. And I just want to thank everyone who's on the call and in earshot of what it is that we're speaking on. My name is Brother Q, otherwise known as Abu Adabisi. And what our dear brother Melvin is the post that he mentioned is one where I was talking about. I said my grandparents had 9 children, 24 grandchildren, and 13 great grandchildren. And no outside, quote unquote, children at the time of their passing. And when I look at my family lineage and the legacy that I came from and that makes me proud, it makes me know that, you know, I have value, I have worth. I'm like, you know what, I experienced it in my life. I had to, you know, I was blessed to experience them in my life and learn from them and see, you know, how a functional family structure is set up. So the next paragraph that I mentioned was with regards to our lack of respect for the institution. And I want us to understand that I'm being very specific when I talk about the institution of marriage. Because it's not a, well, you know, it's just something that you do. No, it's not something. It's not just something that you do. Today in the Black community, respect for the institution of marriage and building a functional family structure has been cast aside for whatever is trending this week. You know, I mean, as in, you know, like next week it's going to be something different, you know. Seeing this condition, and I am concerned, and perhaps someone on the call, Brother Melvin, included. You know, look, I mean, seeing this condition troubles me as a parent myself, and what will my children be inheriting in terms of this particular social condition? And what I'm referencing here, what I'm talking about is the Black family unit and its breakdown and what it looks like today versus pre-integration. So I don't want to go into too much detail with regards to, because, you know, Brother Melvin, he could tell you that, yeah, I could go with the best of them. So I want to be respectful of our time, and I want to hear other folks' feedback and open up a discussion for understanding. Because and when you mentioned Brother Kevin Samuels and his family, I'm going to keep his family in prayer. And I hope that brother's transition into the ancestral realm, and he is well received. So with that being said, no, I didn't agree with every single thing that brother did either. But I can tell you what I did agree with, what really made me admire him, what makes me proud of his boldness to be able to say, hey, look, okay, well, this is how it is in this particular social condition. My situation ain't like that. Well, I understand that's not your situation, but, you know, this is the reality of what men are, right, you know, looking for and experiencing. You know, just like women don't want a broke and uneducated man, a man don't want a broke and uneducated woman, unmotivated woman.
Right.
You know, things of that nature.
Right.
But, you know, to go through verbatim, you know, and try to pick apart at a time like this, Brother Melvin is well placed and very poignant in noting the lack of respect for Black men and whatever it is that we're doing that we ever do to change the image of the Black man. Because not only do we get it from the system itself, we get our brothers and our sisters and everybody got something to say on a negative tip, nothing constructive, nothing supportive. Or usually, I can't say that about all of us, and I'm not talking about all. I'm not speaking in terms of absolutes. But for those who have taken the time out to go to social media and celebrate that man's death, okay, I want you to know that what you have contributed to is his mother's heartache and pain, because she found out through social media.
Right.
The woman didn't even get the respect that she deserved to be able to mourn
right.
the loss of her son. But you standing up for black
exactly.
women though.
You know, and that's important. That's a good point you brought up, brother, because, you know, I've lost a child, and no parent looks forward to, you know, laying a child to rest. And no matter what that child has done, that parent, irregardless, is going to love that child as not, no pun intended, to death. Because that's their blood. That's a piece of them. So, you know, we've become so insensitive, you know, to real feelings. And I think social media and all this reckless TV and movies and stuff have us desensitized to death. And death is a joke. Somebody getting beat up in public is a joke. Nobody helps. Everybody pulls their phones out. We're a lot of us are drawn to the negativity, the you know, the drama, the pettiness of life, you know, as opposed to truly, you know, trying to be a light in the dark. You know what I mean? Because right now, I'm just going to, you know, keep it real. And, you know, we're living in some dark times, brother. And
yeah,
if I know one thing, we need each other. I'm going to put that out there. I try to say that every show. Every show. Damn.
You've been saying
I want that
day
to
one since I've been knowing you, brother Melvin. And it's still true. And it's still true.
You know, and I hate to be right. You know, because I say just let time keep progressing, and we're about to see how much we need each other. And them times is coming, fast approaching, where we're going to have to really bond with one another and really truly be loyal to one another as opposed to looking for outside help, which we should be doing anyway. You know, like I said, self-affirming one another, like what I experienced Saturday, brother. It was, it moved my whole spirit Saturday. What this
well, what
sister
happened
said
Saturday,
to
bro?
Me, man.
I'm not aware.
This sister
pardon
just,
me if I'm...
just, I was just out, brother. I'll give you the short story because I really didn't go into detail. Me and my queen were out on the patio, just cooling, kind of hanging out, you know, and one of the sisters that follows, you know, I like to do poetry, and I've been doing some shows with this group that I linked up with in Dallas. They do them once a month, and my poetry, you know, like everything else that I do, I'm really passionate about it. And, you know, this sister, I'm new at it. The memorization is coming, you know. But, like she said, just don't stop. Because what you've been saying, a lot of people need to hear. She said, I touched some girl that she was with some of my words. She started crying. She needed to hear that. So that's why I'm saying, some things that we just do, I just do that because I love to do it. I don't get paid to do that, you know. And that's just another one of my passions, you know.
And that's revolutionary.
What
you're
it's
revolutionary,
all about.
Brother. Yes.
When
you see what should be.
Got a passion. That's another one of my passions, brother, you know. So that was not just humbling to me because, like I say, I don't do that. Recognition. I ran into that group and linked up with the brother that hosted strictly on coincidence. And that's just what I call, you know, spiritual guidance, divine intervention, as they say, you know, because something led me to be in that building that night on my birthday to meet that brother so that I could take advantage of another opportunity. Because to me, it's all about opportunity. You know, it's all about taking advantage of the opportunities. And that's why I say, too, as a unit, as we move collectively, I say that we need to start thinking collectively. Because
okay, brother.
We won't ever move collectively until we think collectively. That's why the conversations are important. The meetings are important. The planning, the organization, it leads to everything else that we need. Because we have it. We have it. We just have to put it together and bring it back to our understanding and our culture and how we
that's
did
the revolution,
it and not
brother.
How it's being done. You know, because
yes.
That's what has us so twisted right now. We're too wrapped up in how things have been. I mean, we more worried about that damn Will Smith and Jada and all that nonsense and as opposed to real life-changing events.
Uplifting, edifying, empowering, returning to the place at the top where we started. We didn't start from the bottom. That's just a rap song.
Exactly.
We started at the top.
Exactly.
The reason why I say we need revolution, because we have to return to our rightful place on the throne. Our dear brother
right.
Melvin,
exactly.
I mean, I have to admit that I am partial to him because he and I, we share a brotherhood. That is not widely shown or expressed throughout our black community. And, you know, he and I are in agreement that we need each other. You know, we have to love each other. And I ain't talking about just, you know, some fuzzy feeling love. I'm talking about love is a verb, not a noun. In other words, shit, I mean, look, I don't know what's going on, but I know my people need me. I'm going to be right there for them. Yeah. So what the thing is, with Brother Kevin Samuels and the lack of respect for his life in general and the lack of acknowledgement
right.
of the suffering of his family, the suffering of his mother,
right.
you know,
exactly.
even though I disagree with that. Okay, well, you can disagree with everything you want to disagree with. But if you're not working towards returning to the throne, then not only you're not revolutionary, you're in the way of our people because our people deserve better. We deserve to be in control of our own destiny, self-governed.
Man, that
you
was
know,
a T-shirt
self.
Right there. Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
You said
yeah,
it,
well,
man,
you know,
brother. I like how you put that.
Well, I mean, my nerves been bad,
yeah,
too,
I
but
like
I've been real quiet
that.
About the Kevin Stallion. You know, I don't like to give a lot of a commentary towards, you know, celebrity and, you know, what's going on this week and then next week something else. I'm more of a, you know, as the people move,
exactly.
you know, I would like to see that, that I'm going. But this is the reason why white people call us savages, because, you know, we just kind of going every which way instead of operating in a fashion that is going to benefit us all. See, a lot of times we wonder why we as individual melanated people are not being our lives are not being respected, and then that same individual go out and oh damn, oh he died, oh yeah, and they go and buy a T-shirt and a hat, yeah, cafe, yeah, celebrate. I mean, come on now, did you celebrate when Strong Thurmond died? Do you even know who that is? But anyway,
you know,
I digress.
Yeah. Point made. All right, I see I do got another caller that want to jump off in here. Man, brother, hang with me, man. I want you around for the whole show because, yeah, I thought of this show tonight, like I say, just the way it's time for us to start, like I say, moving one another and in the right direction. You know, and I want to touch on, like what you were saying about family because I can't ever talk enough about family and what we need to start doing as far as, you know, swallowing our egos and stepping up, doing the right thing so our children see us doing the right thing so they'll know what doing the right thing really is. Not the white thing, but the right thing.
The right thing.
You know.
And now what you said, Because children, they don't learn from what we tell them. Our children learn from
right.
what they see us do.
Exactly. No doubt.
And I have to say this,
right,
good, brother. No parent should ever have to bury their child. So I'm on with you. And we know our dear soul, your son, is, you know, in the ancestral realm. And I'm sure that he's very proud
no doubt,
of his father.
No doubt. I appreciate that, brother. And I have no doubt he is. I still feel him. And I'm at peace with it. It was rough at first. But you live. You learn to dig blessings out of a grave. You understand what I'm saying? His going
yes,
to
sir.
The grave was another blessing for me. Because, and I'm going to explain what I mean by that. I mean by that, I was blessed with him for 18 years. I loved him unconditionally for 18 years. So to have him taken from me to the grave was a blessing because I gained something from that. Once I got over the hurt and the pain, there was even a lesson within that. So I know how to hurt and keep moving. That's why I say we're important to each other because, see, we done all been through something that we can help somebody else overcome and conquer that they might not feel they can just because they don't have that one somebody that's in that corner. We need each other. Sister Kim, 4823, your mic is open, and I'm going to let you speak your piece, get in the conversation, and welcome. Thank you
yeah.
for calling in.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me. And my condolences do go out to the man that we know as Kevin Samuel's family. So I do totally agree with that about, you know, being sensitive towards people's feelings. And I'm going to add to that I'm all about accountability as well because out of the things that we've heard Mr. Samuels talk about and everything, and even the people talking about him, and then I'm going to leave this alone because I wanted to comment on something he said as well. But out of the things that, you know, I often heard him say, I never really heard him hold men accountable for things that men could be accountable for. And I'm not talking about the women. And I'm not talking about the whole thing about being fat and average and all of that kind of stuff. I'm really just talking about accountability to ourselves and to our community. That was one thing that Mr. Samuels did not represent. And I'm not trying to speak ill of the dead or bring anything up. I'm just saying we have to be real. Now, I would never go out and celebrate somebody's death. And I really hate that they are saying that that's the way that the young man's mother found out that he passed was because of social media. That does add on a whole lot to heartbreak. But if you want to be accountable, if you want to talk about accountability, we have to be accountable for the lives that we live in the first place and how they're going to affect, you know, what kind of effects is this going to have. And I'm not saying that it's his fault that somebody was callous enough to go out and celebrate or that people have been insensitive enough to make memes about things. This is like the one man, the one YouTube guy that was stabbed to death by his white girlfriend just a few weeks ago. And he was one of those YouTubers who talked about why he would never date black women or African women, even though he himself was Nigerian. And he ended up being stabbed to death by his white girlfriend. And as you can imagine, the jokes and the things that people were saying were off the chain. And they were insensitive. And it did seem cruel. But at the end of the day, when you think about the accountability that was on him. Sometimes we get results that we don't want, and you got to be accountable for that. That's really kind of what I wanted to say on that issue. I mean, yeah, we don't really know these people. We don't know what happened. I don't believe that he died in the manner in which they said. I think he probably was killed, but that's my own opinion. Because sometimes they do that, and especially to us, you know, when we participate in certain things. Now, that's kind of all I wanted to say about Kevin Samuel. About us and relating to each other, I heard the gentleman say, and I know exactly what you mean, so I'm not totally disagreeing with you when you said, just like, you know, women don't want a broke, uneducated man, men don't want a broke, uneducated woman. I don't totally disagree with that. I just don't totally agree with it because I think looking at each other in those terms have been very detrimental to us because it does cancel out the effects, I guess you could say, of being able to develop a genuine feeling with someone without looking at these, you know, socially contrived constructs like broke or uneducated. Because I feel like a man or a woman could just as easily love someone who maybe is not quote-unquote educated, but they're sensible. You know, you don't have to be educated to be sensible. And I don't like the phrase broke because that's you know, that's all about, you know, materialism, money, and all that kind of stuff. And I know that you mean everything in a positive sense. I get it. And so I'm not disagreeing. I'm just saying we kind of have to be, we have to think about our own accountability and how things are going to affect, how are we going to live our lives, because that's actually one of the lessons that, you know, you try to instill in young people when you see them forming certain habits, that you got to look out for your future. And your future doesn't necessarily just mean whether or not you're going to be able to get a job and all that kind of stuff. But it also refers to how people are going to see you when you're no longer here. When you get older, are you going to be alone and by yourself and having to pay someone to come and sit with you? You know, those kinds of things. And although I'm not talking anymore about Kevin Samuels, I have to say that it breaks my heart that his mother had to find out, you know, through social media. That had to be painful. But at the same time, that tells me that maybe he wasn't as in touch with his mother or his family as he could have been. And that's all I have to say on that matter. And as far as getting the warm and fuzzies, Melvin, it's not just the warm and fuzzies. I understand. I went to a couple of weekends ago, a friend and I were out, and we experienced just a good old-fashioned showing of love and respect amongst black people for each other. And it was an awesome feeling, and we knew when we felt it that that is what, I guess you could say, the enemy is trying to shut down before it even starts back up, because I totally believe that we're on the verge of experiencing a rebirth of that feeling right now. And I think that the people like Tommy Sotomayor, I think is his name, and then Kevin Samuels joined a bunch later. There's a couple other people out there like that. And then there are some women who can be pretty callous, too. You know, some people might feel that way about CNG, but, I mean, I don't. But I'm just saying I know that that's a possibility. But those kind of people, unfortunately, have been kind of used to kind of help further the gap between us. And that's kind of how I feel about that.
Well, thank you, sister. I mean, I want to thank you for, you know, joining us here. I'm your brother Q. You know, some of my friends, comrades know me as Abu at ABC. And, you know, I appreciate your perspective. I appreciate your point of view. Thank you for sharing your knowledge, your strength, and your wisdom. I just like to say this. When we are insisting that other folks hold themselves accountable, even in death, I think that...
Yes, even in death, because your death in your life.
Okay, if you would,
let me finish.
If you would, dear, thank you so much. So if we're asking for someone to be accountable in their death when we are alive and we see the problems, we see the dangers, we see the constructs of the social, political, economic conditions that we live in. And this is across the world. This is not just in the United States, even though we have a unique identity because we didn't immigrate. We were imported. That aside, if we are considering ourselves somewhat of a revolutionary, a concerned citizen, a community organizer, then we should also take note that the first part of accountability is when you get up in the morning and you go in the bathroom and you look in that mirror. Now, I love my people. I love melanated people. And we got a lot of house cleaning to do, sis. I mean, I'm just, you know, I'm being real with you. And a lot of people don't take the truth and, you know, actual facts well. You know, they're like, oh, that hurt my feelings. So, you know, I'm not going to listen to nothing else you say. And it sort of lowers us to the lowest common denominator on, oh, no, you know, I don't agree with you. Anything you say bounces off of me and sticks back to you. You know, it's like we back in third grade or the fourth grade. Instead of correcting our behavior that we recognize in that this individual, whoever the individual is pointing out, I think that conversation should go on within ourselves first, before we insist that on any other person. So, but thank you, though, sister.
Well, thank you so much for that, but I'm just going to bump it right back to you because you did exactly what I just said, and you didn't even realize it. The first thing you did was make an excuse. Oh, he's dead now. He's not here to defend himself in his death while you're talking about accountability. And that's absolutely correct. He's not here to defend himself, and I am not bashing him, nor am I bashing you. But I am going to point out that when I was talking about accountability, what I'm saying is that during his life, he could have been a little bit more accountable for his opinions. My opinions are not always popular amongst women, other black women, and sometimes other black men. So I get that. I'm not bashing his point of view. What I am bashing is how rough he was with someone. And you cannot take away how another person felt. You can't discount another person's feelings because someone else is no longer here. Because even though they're no longer here, that's the mark that he left. And you're right. I do hold myself accountable to that degree. In fact, when a good friend of mine passed away not too many years ago, you can ask anybody who was there. That's actually what I said at the memorial is, when we look at how what someone has poured into our lives, do we look at what we pour into other people's lives? And all I'm saying is that when we are up front, like you said, if you're going to be any type of a person that's publicly speaking, whether you want to consider yourself a revolutionary or you just want to consider yourself an influencer, you do have to be accountable for what you say, because even if you change your mind later, it's still going to have an impact that is not going to go away, whether you're dead or alive. That's all I'm saying. And I'm not saying that anybody should apologize for him, but what I am saying is we should acknowledge the fact that this man did some damage to a lot of people, both men and women. It wasn't just women. And I'm not saying we should hold that against him and wish him to hell. I want him to go through to the ancestors and be welcomed, because I don't believe that was really just something that he wanted to do. I think that maybe someone, you know, did some damage to him. Like you said, it's a strike back. I never took anything personally like that, but I am saying it breaks my heart that I keep hearing a lot of black men not even acknowledging, and then on top of that, totally discounting that the men, some of the things did, are, I'm not going to say did damage, or even opened wounds that were already damaged, but you will not acknowledge that. That's all I'm saying, is just acknowledge that he could have been a little bit more accountable when he was here. I'm not talking about now. We don't want to hold a seance and have a conversation about that. I'm just saying we need to acknowledge it on both sides. He wasn't perfect, and just because you're dead doesn't erase what you did. In fact, it's been said, and I totally believe, that ancestors, even when they're in the ancestral realm, if they was a dead, dirty dog scoundrel while they were here, guess what they're going to be in the ancestral realm? Because just because you transition does not automatically improve your character, the character that you've built. That's all I'm saying.
Are you aware that there's a long list of sisters who thank him from their personal experience with him that have helped them improve their lives and their situations, not only in their relationships, but in their careers, in their family life, in their social lives? Are you aware of that? Or, is, you know, we could give them a pitchfork in a devil's tail. Come on, sister.
I'm sorry, am I aware of what? So I need you to repeat that. You said, am I aware of what?
That there are a long list of sisters that have reached out to his family and acknowledged their personal experience and the positive, impactful effect that our dear ancestor Kevin Samuels had on their lives, or do they not matter?
So basically what you just said is you didn't listen to a word that I said, because I said although it wasn't just women that he may have damaged, it was some men too. So are you aware that the things that he said were also damaging to women? I don't care how many women agreed with what he said, and I don't care how many women disagreed with what he said. See, now you're not listening to me. Now, I apologize.
Let me jump in here real quick, please. Can y'all hear me?
No, I'm just saying, I don't care how many women
disagreed. I'm asking a question now. Can you all hear me on my mic? Am I coming through okay?
Yes, sir.
I'm just asking a question now. Okay. Because let me jump in here real quick. Because I covered this in my opening, first of all. And like I said, the brother had some spot-on facts, but the brother's delivery was way off. I didn't agree with his method, and I don't agree with it, even though he's passed on. I respect the fact that he is gone, period, point blank. And as I stated in the opening, everybody does dirt, and everybody has done dirt. He just had a bigger platform. And, yeah, I am aware of women who he has positively affected. I have heard him say some pretty rugged things about men as well, but he never really had the opportunity to dog men the way he had the opportunity, because more women called into his show. And mind you, like I said, I do not agree with his delivery at all, because of the simple fact that, like I made in my opening remarks, you can draw more bees with honey than you can vinegar. And as I went on to say, we need each other. We got to fix each other. And I'll just be collectivity here, working together here, not getting into disagreements And I know disagreeing to disagree, but let's not keep beating a dead horse.
Okay, and you're right, brother. So let me point out a fact that I recognize and I see not only on this call, but in society as we know it. There has been a loss of our culture and our consciousness because divine law comes before human law, and that comes before whatever this social construct is that we're experiencing from week to week here in the United States in 2022. So another reason for us to recognize and embrace our original culture, because we're taking on attitudes and opinions that are not even our own, religions and rituals and holidays, celebrating stuff that don't even belong to us because we don't know who we are. It's a lack of consciousness that we're witnessing here. You know, with respect to everyone, I mean, this is a societal issue that I teach political education class, on a weekly basis. Brother Melvin, you're aware, and divine law comes before the laws that, we have on this planet, and it comes, and the human law comes before, how I feel about, going down here to McDonald's. Or whatever it is that is popular or trending, or what it is to be cool to be, in with. What's the way? I hear a lot of that these days. So all of these issues, and these are conditions and facts that are in society. So being that, a person could be popular and pass away, and, they say all kind of good things. A person could be unpopular, and none of that is in our judgment authority. So, but that's coming from a person who is conscious of divine, universal law, and then human law, and then I didn't agree with that, So there's a hierarchy, there's a structure, because our battle is not physical battle. It's
no doubt. We have to learn how to be, we have to listen to one another, and we can't listen if we're over-talking one another, and everybody's going to have a difference of opinion. That's just life and who we are, but my focus is us and unifying us, learning how to work through the disagreements and not make them a situation. We have to show those behind us how to do it and how to do it the right way, because there have been mistakes made along the way, and not just by this system. Some of us, myself, and I always hold myself at a more accountable and higher rate of accountability than I think anybody else can hold me to, because what I leave behind is going to be what people remember about me. And I don't want nobody with no ill feelings toward me. It's enough of them out here right now, But that just goes to my point where we have to start learning how to communicate. And we then, too, at this grassroots level. Because this is where it really matters, because we're the ones that are really experiencing the situation, the condition, and I'm not really wanting to harp on actors and entertainers and all that, because I don't even include them with us, because they don't deal with what we deal with out here in the real world. As melanated people in America, they don't, they're not worried about high gas prices. They got chauffeurs and limousines, and if nothing else, they got enough money to stay afloat. We the ones that's out here checking the check, check the check, check the check. And then not only that, we the ones out here that's not willing to sit down at the table and even communicate a fixing of the problem. And that's where it all has to begin, because, like I say, it can't be about one of us. We because it's about all of us, and it's going to take all of us to fix it. But unfortunately, two-thirds of us are not going to make it because of lack of knowledge. Well, whose job is it to give them that? Those of us who are waking up. You know, that's what we're supposed to do. That's the most righteous thing that you can do. Serve your public. Serve your people. That's what a true God does. You know,
indeed,
that's what we're put here to do. You know, serve one another. And we are, oh, we're failing at that. We've got to get better at being amongst each other, like Sister Kim was saying at her event, you know, that she went to, and just being able to feel that vibration. And that's something that we as melanated beings possess, the ability to feel things that others can't feel. So we got to really tap into, like I say, just get back to really who we are and stop letting society dictate that. And then, because I'm all for pulling away from all that old entertainment nonsense, because that's what has a lot of us behaving the way we behave out here, you know, because who makes things popular? Those who have the biggest platforms, the actors, the athletes. You know, those millionaires who are part of that club who don't really care about poor people, people who are suffering. And right now, we're all out here suffering. Gas prices going through the roof. Grocery prices going through the roof. There's a shortage going on. There's a recession happening that this, you know, system is trying to hide. Then my thing is this. Think about this, because I'm all about what we can do collectively to change things. So taxation without representation is a crime. It's what it says anyway. So why are we still paying taxes to a system that don't take care of us, don't have our best interests at hand? See, those are the things I want to attack. I want to attack this system. This system that don't do right by nobody, honestly, if they ain't got the right money, if they ain't got the right bank account, zeros in their bank account. See, we need to focus on taking away their wealth. See, when we can take away their wealth, what they worship, which is money, then we can start to change our condition systematically. We can do that ourselves by just stop doing the things that we've been doing without being compensated. Because they're taking our tax dollars right now. They ain't got no money for us for reparations. But they're taking our tax dollars, and right now it's Afghanistan's are coming over here. Now the Ukrainians is on their way over here. And you know what they're giving them when they get here? Our tax dollars. Money that they don't have.
Don't forget
for
about
our
Israel getting reparations. Yeah. Yeah, we're paying, our tax dollars are going to Israel as well. Don't forget about them. Yeah, check them too.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
My point. You know, so why not try to start? Those are the grassroots things that we can do, because if enough of us stop, they'll have to recognize us. If enough of us stop doing the so-called normal things, then they'll notice us. If we stop going to their shop, then they'll notice us, because they're going to miss that money. They ain't going to never miss nobody. They ain't going to never miss the person, the people, but they'll miss that money. See, we got to start thinking of ways, because I say this all the time. I said this to several brothers and sisters in passing and in conversation. We can do what needs to be done without even having to fire a shot. We even having to chunk a BB. We even having to put a rock in a slingshot if we start doing what we need to do collectively as a group of people, as a group of organized people, and if we all start talking the same and walking the same and moving the same, shit will change.
Yep, they won't be able to call us savages no more. If we operating as a unit, you know, Not everybody doing the same thing, but everybody doing something different for the same reason.
Exactly.
And this is what got me captivated. You know, feeling that unity out in Louisville, checking the situation with Breonna Taylor and calling out, you know, the state attorney general. When you feel that, when you out on the ground, because that's where it's at, out in the streets with our people, not in some comfortable, undisclosed location, some damn well. You feel that and you see that, okay, damn, these people are risking life and liberty, livelihood. But, brother, what you brought up about the Reuben problem, you're talking about white supremacy. You're talking about the fact that white supremacy must be eliminated, must be discarded because we are all prisoners of war. But dare I say,
but
the most intelligent prisoners are the ones that are.
Oh, yeah.
Well,
I'm really,
okay, see,
and this
see,
is a question. This is really a question because I'm really trying to figure out. Because, and I feel you, because I've been to a few different rallies and situations, and my cousin's rally they had for him, and you do feel that, you know, but what do we do to keep that feeling? What do we do to keep that? You know what I mean? And that's really been the problem, because we will come together for situations, but we won't stay together. And really, because those and these are the things that our children need to see us doing, you know, doing some things that can really truly change how the world functions, how this system functions. Our collectivity is crucial, vital to that. Our inability to stay united is our biggest downfall. And, I mean, I'll just throw my – I thought that the George Floyd situation was going to be the one that galvanized us. And I guess that's what I'm asking. What is going to be the galvanizing factor, the factor that will make us stay together, make us start working together? It's going to take enough of us doing it so others will see it.
Well, when they reinstitute slavery and when they about to take women's rights away, Trump about to get back in office, you're going to see real quick. Because we didn't have half these problems before integration. And, you know, in my personal opinion, integration was the worst thing that happened to our people. Because now a lot of us are walking around with black skin, but we have European minds. So it's an African consciousness. These are some of the things I've been covering over the last few months and weeks. And for my political education classes, I've had to take them off of social media because, you know, telling the truth isn't allowed on Instagram and Facebook, but I got to tell it like it is. And it don't always go down well. We need brain surgery as a people. We need heart surgery. And it's got to hurt, okay? I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but even Stokely Carmichael said it. He said nothing wrong with disagreeing with a brother, being passionate with another brother or brother or sister, and, you know. But what the thing is, though passion might, you know, strain, you know, it should never break our bonds of affection. So, you know, the idea is something that I try to keep in mind in terms of theory and as well as practice. Now, I'm not perfect either, so I'm not looking at anyone else and trying to stick a microscope up there, up there or behind, try to see what's going on. I mean, because I'm just, you know, I'm just a man, you know, proletariat. Concerned citizen, if you will. But yeah, thank you for the question, man. In terms of George Floyd and these instances that continue to happen, it seems like a circular cycle, and it is. And here's why it dies down. I could bring you a little bit further back in history. Angela Davis. Was it Free Angela? Okay, so we had all that energy. Okay, Free Angela, and, you know, the whole country, the whole world was, well, you know, we go free our sister. She got free, and then it died down because it was emotional. It was reactional. It was reactionary versus proactive and constructive, as, you know, as the work that we revolutionaries do. You know, for the long term, we plant trees. We're not trying to, you know, get a rose and, hey, feel good about this rose. You know, we're trying to plant trees and, you know, plow land, own land, as a people, not just, okay, it's my land over here, y'all Negroes, y'all stay over there. Cause, you know, we don't like y'all, you know, y'all opinions and y'all politics ain't right or whatever. So the recognition and being in the knowledge and being aware of the fact that this came down, this was passed down to us from generation to generation to generation. I would say, and because I happen to be a forensic historian, back in 1712, when the phenomenal Willie Lynch letter was released to all of the plantation owners, oh, they did a number on us. Because now, light skin, dark skin, male versus female, old versus young, and here it is over 300 years later, and we're still going through the same old rigmarole, but it's theirs. Get that white man his God back. Get that white man his politics back. Get that white man his culture, his socialization back. Embrace your own. Embrace your own. Long live the spirit of the Panther. All power to the people.
Well, I think that two things that I've just from listening to even just now and even just in general, two things. It's going to take us coming together and acting together and loving and doing all of this just like we've experienced without an event being the catalyst for it. Because you're right, it is all emotion, and once the emotion is gone, then the movement's gone. But that is why they make sure they put something out there every once in a while to get us all riled up so they can channel our energy one way and then just let it die down, and then we never move forward because we're always stuck in a reactionary stance. So is this going to take us actually doing what we're talking about?
Right on.
Right. I'm like, I believe, and I'm just going to throw this out here too real quick, and then I want to get y'all's, I want to get, you know, those opinions about it as well, that it's more about setting and feedback on it, and y'all's thoughts and y'all's opinions, you know, but when I say that, setting the example, because, you know, I think back when we were children, you know, and well, I'm 52, so it's been a little longer for me, but just thinking back to when I was a child and the adults that were in my life and the examples that they set, because what you didn't see back then were your grandmama tick-tocking and twerking. You know, what you didn't see was your grandmama or even your granddad doing things out of character for your age, for their age. Now, what we saw coming up was even if there was a disagreement within the family, it wasn't known throughout the family. Things were handled in a much more internal manner as opposed to now where everything is just broadcast, you know. And what I mean by setting the – that's what I mean really by setting the example, because some of us are out here doing the most for nothing but a few $1,000 from companies that are making, you know, money hand over fist, because of people who will put their integrity to the side to go along, to get along, to, as they say, norm, you know. And I think sometime that, well, no, I don't think. A lot of the times trying to go with the flow and keep up with the norm has been detrimental to us. And that's why I say that we have to set the example for ours, because we don't live anybody else's lifestyle. And our lifestyle is a lifestyle of struggle. It's a lifestyle of pain, heartache, lifestyle of not having sometimes just the necessity. And that trickles down to our children. So what I'm saying is, yeah, I think that we have to start setting those examples. And like earlier, Brother Q, that, you know, yeah, we these children nowadays are more show me. The children in my generation were the listen, the learn generation, look and see and know generation. So we have to learn how to reach out and reach back.
Definitely start native in our communication. Back. You're right, brother. Maya Angelou said the same thing. I did ancestor. She said people don't remember what you said.
Right.
They remember how you made them feel. And we're seeing this
right
throughout our black community.
Because it has to be the example that they see. And like I said earlier, you know, and children do what they see, you know, regardless of that, as I do as I say, do as you do, regardless. So, yeah, I just want to get y'all's thoughts on that, because to me it's important, because like I say, in my childhood I saw men being men, women being women, you know, the men that were in my life getting up, going to work, maintaining a family, doing what the man, nurturing the kids, caring, you know, doing what the woman did at that particular time, you know. And I feel like we really do need to get back to the simplicity of a lot of things. And definitely start to rebuild the village. And either one of y'all can jump on that.
I'm interested in what the sister might have to say in terms of, you know, dear sister, you know, your, let's say, instrumental development, you know, childhood upbringing, what it is you witnessed and experienced in terms of the black family unit.
I think most of us who are on this line who are within a certain age range, I don't know what they call us. I think they call us Gen Xers or something like that. Most of us grew up seeing, you know, the positive role models. I mean, my mom and dad were together until they died. My dad left in 2016. My mom just died last year. But they were married all those years, you know. And they got married young. My mom was 16 when she got married. So, yeah, we do need to, you know, get back to that. Now, I do think we need to adapt. We need to stop adapting other people's ideals, because, Melvin, you used the example of not seeing your grandmothers out there twerking. Well, it's not even just the twerking, in my opinion, that's the issue. It's the lack of boundaries. It's the lack of boundaries. And what I mean by that is mothers and daughters did not, you wouldn't see mothers, daughters, and grandmothers, mothers, and daughters sitting up, you know, partying together per se. But we did have parties where all the family could be there and everyone would dance. But the difference was the level of respect. And like I said, you had boundaries. Now, as far as, because we, coming from our ancient history and our, even our natural ancient history, as we age, you know, a lot more gracefully than most people. So we don't need to stop the dancing. And I know that you weren't specifically saying dancing. I think you're talking about the disrespectful out there, booty sick and trying to catch somebody's attention type of dancing, if I'm not mistaken.
Right.
Is that what you're talking about? Okay. But
right.
that, like I said, it's not just the dance itself that's the issue, because the twerking is something that's actually was never meant to just be sexual. It was always about the female body and the essence behind the female and the feminine and all of that. But it was never supposed to be as sexual as our so-called culture, the others, have made it. Everything we do, according to them, is sexual. Never mind all the other context behind it, because there's always been the masculine and the feminine, and they work together to make everything grow. So I think we just need to get back to a level of respect, make sure that we have our boundaries, and we know that if I'm the mother, you're the child. I don't care how old you get and how old I get. Now, we can come together and we can have a good time together. We can have our family parties and everybody can get up and dance. But there is a level of respect that needs to be there. And, yes, every man on my street had a job. All the families were so-called intact and everything. So, yeah, I grew up like that, and I would love to see us get back to that. But the only way we're going to do it is just to do it.
Right on, sister.
I agree. Let me open up this other mic. I just noticed that all right, 3736, your mic is open. I think I know who this is, yeah.
All right, greetings, brothers and sisters. Tonight I've been listening in on a y'all conversation. How's everyone?
We're good.
Oh, okay.
Yes, we're good.
We can
hear you.
Okay, then. I didn't hear the male say anything, but getting back to the basics. Peace, you all. Like I said, how's everyone doing? Doing tonight. But been listening to
the conversation.
Oh yeah,
I'm good. I'm driving now. Yeah.
Oh, you driving? Okay. Well, be safe out there. y'all get into the solutions of what you know of how we were brought up and what we need to get back to right now. Right now, we're actually in a transitional state. And the way we were brought up, all of us around the same age, with our fathers and mothers in the household, and like with my childhood, of course, my mom, she taught me everything I know, pretty much, you know, about life and what I need to be and how I need to respect myself as a young woman, a young girl going into a young womanhood to, you know, to the day I become a mother. I don't see that a lot happening right now. However, that was by design. All of this stuff that we're going through right now, pointing fingers at each other, blaming this on one another and everything, has totally distracted us. We need to look at the common ground of what caused our problems, and that's what we need to squash that. And then we need to elevate above the pointing of the fingers and everything. And I keep seeing that. I've been listening to top people on the media and everything. Everybody's pointing fingers at each other. And just like I think Melvin said a while ago and Kim said a while ago, we all need to come to a common ground of a solution. And I'm just going back over. I know you guys had already said something to that extent. And what is our solution of moving forward? How do we get back our children? How do we get our females and our males back together with that point of fingers and being distracted amongst each other to the point that we can't even stand to see each other? We're putting down the females, and the males are putting, females are putting down the males, and the males are putting down the female. What is our solution to all this problem? Well, the first thing that I think is self-healing. We need to self-heal. And it was something the brother said a while ago. I can't remember exactly what he said, but he said something, and he might can help me out.
In terms of the cultural revolution that's needed, or the fact that we have to be observant,
yes,
and
I think it was
acknowledge
that
white supremacy is the source of all our problems and reason why it's got us exacerbated, confused, and frustrated right now.
Yeah, everybody is like that, exactly, and they are. And we're all feeling the same way. We have been culturally raped, and we have to heal psychologically, emotionally, and physically from all this. All this stuff has taken us to a point where we're just separated. And I'm so tired of hearing us, Kim said a while ago, we're emotional, we act on emotion, Melvin said it too, and then, y'all, we don't even, you know, we'll come up with something, we'll act out on emotion, they stifle our energy, then it's gone. But like Melvin said, what is the gavel? I think that's what you said, right, Melvin? That what is the point that we come to that we're going to stay on the right track?
Yeah, what's
going
to galvanize? It's so many things. There's a lot of, so many factors that, you know, keep us from it. You know what I mean? And like I was saying earlier, you know, I really felt as if, because for me, watching the light being strangled out of George Floyd just still resonates in my mind. I still see that video. I don't even like watching clips of it now. But that one, to me, is because, I mean, we literally watched him die. And that's what happened. We watched him get lynched right in front of our eyes. We watched that man take his last breath.
Finish. Then I want to tell you something about this, about what's going on.
Oh.
I think Kim already know where I'm going with this.
Well, I mean, like I was saying, I thought that was going to be the one. But then, too, I knew that there was going to be another one and another one and another one. And that's what it's been still.
Okay.
A repeated, constant pattern because we won't stay together. We'll come together.
Okay, well,
we won't stay together.
Okay. But wait a minute. If that's a constant pattern, wouldn't you more or less say that has become a ritual? Can you hear me now? Can you hear me?
Oh, yeah.
Can you hear me? Okay.
Yeah.
I'm saying that's the pattern. Wouldn't that now be a ritual? That's something that they use a ritual to do. When you start seeing that and they're putting stuff on TV like that, then they already know that they're going to get some type of reaction out of the masses that are targeting. And Kim said something to that a point a while ago. They always target us with killings, with murders, and things of that nature because they know we are emotional people. Now, if people actually knew that this stuff was planned 20 years ago or 15 years ago, that they were going to put that on TV and put George Floyd out there, people wouldn't be reacting to this anymore. They wouldn't see it like that anymore. They wouldn't let that distract them. They were like, wait a minute. So they already planned to do this to get a certain reaction out of us. a lot of times we are being what we called, bamboozled, hoodwinked, just like Malcolm X said, but it's another word I'm looking for. Y'all, we are being fooled. We are being fooled.
Being manipulated is what we're being.
Manipulated, exactly. These people already had that plan, y'all. And when everybody jumped on that bandwagon, it was a distraction with our minds, and it threw us off what we were thinking. Now, then this thing, I'm hopping to real quick here, and I don't want to talk about it. I'm just saying that stuff with Will Smith and that boy, that was planned. This is going on. A lot of these incidents that's happening on this media is already planned years before mainly in the 1990s. They planned everything that's going to happen in 2020. They planned in 1999 and all this. And so we have to come out of the box, and we have to step back and think, why do all these things keep going on, the same old thing keep happening? It's because the same old thing is what got them where they are to control us in the first place. But if we get to the root of the problem and understand, as my famous friend says, who is on the phone right now, a one-trick pony. We got to learn their trick. We're missing their trick. And because we're missing their trick, we're steadily distracted from actually thinking logically and being a strategizer to heal ourselves and to then combat their plan before they plan hit. Who the hell knew that this was when they showed us back in, I think it was 1990-something, that they was going to do this to George Floyd. If someone was watching the TV or something, they had already told us they was going to do this shit. Excuse my language. But nobody caught it back then. Now then, when they show it to us, everybody's all up in the frenzy and everything. And then here comes Tyler Perry doing this and all that kind of stuff. Y'all, it was a trap. But they already told us they was going to do it. So here we are, spinning our wheels, talking about this stuff when it was already in their making. So we are actually the standby cast. So they are doing what they supposed. What they're doing is broadcasting. When they broadcast, they're broadcasting a spell to get in our minds to throw us off of our game. And it's working. It has worked. And
right on, sister.
It's working. But if we realize and we sit back with, wait a minute, why are we still buying into this TV shit? What? That remember you said you stopped watching football games and stuff a long time ago because you realized what it was. It's like that
the revolution will not be televised.
Exactly. So why is we keep talking about this shit that's in their media? They target people to throw us off our game because that's what they have always done. Anybody that can take two horses, put a black man on it, whip it to death, and split that black man in two, and it stimulates fear inside of the pregnant women, inside of your DNA, to perpetuate a fear for generations to come. If it worked then, they're thinking, why wouldn't it work now?
Yes, so continuation of psychological warfare.
Exactly.
It's a historical phenomenon that has been engaged upon us.
Huh?
And I think that's what you're referencing, sister. And thank you for joining in the discussion. I welcome and I respect and I agree, with what you're saying. But I think what it is that we are missing is the fact that those that do not study their history are doomed to repeat it. See, George Floyd got a lot of people out in the streets, but we fail to realize that taking pictures of our dead bodies in the street and being lynched, it used to be something they would dress up in their Sunday's best and, pick a nigga and have a nigga barbecue, hang out little bodies and, castrate us and, and go and send them a family postcard for Christmas.
That's what I'm saying. We know all of that. Why do we keep filing for it? So what we got to do is I'm not saying turn away. What I'm saying is we got to be up on our game and go ahead and strategize and move forward. because if they see that fear is no longer in us and we're not going to be buying into this shenanigans that they're putting out here, and then we do stay together and hit them where it hurts, like Melvin said a while ago, and hit them with that money thing, baby, it's over for them. It's over for them. And that's what we got to do.
That's why
so emotional.
Yeah, my bad, sister. I don't mean to be rude. I just wanted to say that history continues to show us that taking pictures and video of them doing what they do is not changing the situation. So being organized and putting that energy and that time into something constructive for ourselves, determining our own selves, our own identity, self-governing is the only answer. There is nothing about what we living in that is free.
That's exactly what I'm saying. I mean, that's what I'm saying. We got to – that's what I'm saying. You just said what I'm actually saying. So moving – you know, we got to – like Melvin said a while ago when he made a statement that if we hit them where it hurts. Our thing is now we got to move from all this. Every time something happens on the TV or something – we need to say what we got to say, but don't hold on to it because we don't know. These people have come and attacked us in the same way for over, I'm just going to use the 500-year mark. They have done this, and they are trying to repeat their history to enslave our minds during this time. And enough is enough.
Right. And part of that enslavement of our minds. Part of that enslaving of our minds was the illusions that they have cast because I think Melvin mentioned earlier about all of the celebrities and how they don't necessarily have to worry about all the gas prices and all this stuff. Actually, they do. But the illusion that they put out there is that they don't. Those people do not have all their money. They don't. Uh-uh. They can't even go spend their money. And then, you know, without permission per se. But in addition to that, that's an illusion. They made sure that they let everybody see that police officer strangling the life out of George.
Exactly.
And you're right. You're right, Sister Solomon. They did tell us they were going to do that back in the 90s because I can remember being in college. And I was in college in the 90s, and I remember towards the end, and then it floated again back in the early 2000s about the concept of people watching executions on TV.
Exactly.
Now, I remember when that floated around, and that's exactly what that is. They just didn't tell you in what format it was going to come. But that's what they did. Now, as far as illusions and during the so-called enslavement period, because I think everybody knows my opinions on that. Those were illusions that they cast, like you said, with the men being drawn and quartered. That was an illusion that they cast by making sure that everybody watched it so that you would know, so that that would be imprinted on your mind. That's witchcraft, number one. And then if we know that they do this stuff to their own people, this is what they do. They do it to their own people as well as to us. What's happening now is they're concentrating it more on us for a reason. And there is a reason why hitting them in the pocketbook really hurts them. So we've got to learn some of the science. Right. We've got to learn some of the sciences. We got to understand. We got to go some places that we've been trained not to go. But we were the ones there in the territory. We were the first ones with the metaphysical knowledge, and that is the one thing that we have not introduced into this so-called fight yet. But that's where we got to go to solve this problem.
Exactly. Everything is on the physical with us. We see this physically.
And they keep it on the physical.
Yeah.
They keep it. Whenever it starts to die down, they go out, they kill somebody else.
And you're right, but I would like to add, if we study the history of revolutions, the successful one more recently in Haiti in 1804, or the Cuban Revolution, or even the Chinese Revolution, it all started with a cultural revolution. In other words, a handful of individuals out of this mass of people who was woke and everybody else was asleep, for instance, Toussaint. And
That handful of people, amen to that. I say. If I had a noise maker, I would be spinning it because that is the truth.
But that is the honest to God truth.
It's all, and that's how they move. If you think about it, it's never all of them. See, that's another illusion they cast on us by making us think we got to be unified. Oh, black people can never come together. No, we can't. They don't come together either. It's a small group of them that make their decisions and do what they're going to do, but the rest of them fall in line. Now, with us, because of the way we've been conditioned, the rest of us don't fall in line because they've been frightened into not falling in line with the other black people. That's the difference.
And you're right. And this is why Toussaint and Dessalines marooned themselves out into the caves, into the jungles out there in Haiti for a year. And during that year, they continued to recruit from the colonial enslaved until they made their move. But the first move that they made, they cleaned house. They went after the mulattoes first, those who were in allegiance with the colonialists, those the half-breeds and so on and so forth. I'm just giving up. This is just a history lesson, y'all. I ain't trying to encourage no violence or nothing. Okay? You know, it'll be the first thing they say. So they went after the mulattoes. After they wiped them out, they went after the colonialists and all the colonial countries and getting them off the island of Haiti. And the first thing people say, well, Haiti's so poor. Well, Haiti has been sanctioned since before there was such thing as sanctions. You know, it's been, you know, if you ever heard of the Cuban embargo, that lasted about 50 years. Haiti's been sanctioned for longer than that. So that it's not just that black people are just, oh, they just can't get it.
But it's a metaphysical. Right, brother, you preaching, because I'm going to tell you, though. But the other part that people don't realize with the Haitian Revolution is people always ask if they were so successful, then what happened? Why are they like they are? And that is where it turns metaphysical. There's a metaphysical answer to that, and most of us are into Christianity, so I don't know that I want to touch on that right now, but I'm just saying the answer to that goes to a whole nother deeper level.
Yep.
Okay. Well, I can tell you in terms of the culture.
We need a break.
In terms of the shared culture, they use drums to communicate with one another. Okay? I'm just talking about the, you know, the mundane details that people kind of like read over. They just kind of read the headline and, oh, okay, well, I know the news. Well, the devil's in the details. You have to actually do something. You know, we have to actually be in interaction with one another in an organized fashion. We don't all have to do the same thing, but for the same purpose, that is what creates unity. That is what creates a mission. And it takes a few, 3% of the total of the population. I actually experienced it in my own lifetime back in 1999 when I started organizing in the community. I'm an 80s baby, so I probably just told my age, told on myself, but I am 40 of a certain age. But what I'm saying is that work that we did, the 8 or 12 of us that got together and said, you know what, now we have this no more. We're going to tell this president, board of regents, chancellor, and we're going to call all the news and we're going to hold their feet to the fire. It's past, it's over 20 years later. I went and visited my alma mater last year, and the work that we did back in 1999 still stands. So just those little steps in our own individual lives, in our own individual journey, you know, we're laying a foundation for our next generation, family. You know, so we have to be mindful that what we do, it's about what we do, you know, and understanding theory, understanding and appreciating, acknowledging history and the current condition, because we know where we're going. We know where we're from. We have to know what it is. You know, so like Malcolm said, if we don't understand our own people, then we'll fool around and come to hate our own people. He's like, well, why do they do this? Why do we don't? And a lot of times we don't understand because we don't appreciate or acknowledge or even, you know, research our own history. But I'm so glad to be amongst like-minded and you know, spirited our spirits are so necessary, y'all. And I, like Brother Melvin been saying, since I've been knowing this brother since, like, you know what I'm saying? Day one. Hey, look, man. We need each other out here, you know, and we are all of our liberty is tied into one another to one degree or another, be it directly or indirectly, what the sister over here is doing over here with the garden in her community. It might go tied up into this little financial brokerage that, you know, we're putting together for these black folks over here. And then, okay, we got the technology folks over here, and they black, and then we got the engineers over here. We got the architects. We got everything that we need as a people. The thing of it is getting us to recognize one another as one another, as a family, as a nation, instead of, well, you know, the white people ain't gonna like that. So, see, because that goes, that, you know what I'm saying, that just irks my nerve. But I yield the floor, y'all.
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to jump in, y'all. It's kind of winding down. I've enjoyed this show. This topic is always, to me, just one that you can never talk about it enough. And the thing about it is, you know, like, I can't express it enough, you know, how much we need each other out here. And I feel like, yeah, there is a transition happening amongst us. It's just going to take those of us who are woke to really get the shaking and awakening those around us. And I think something else that is just vital to us collectively changing the condition is the fact that we have to recognize our unity is needed. Sometimes I think that we feel as if our time put in is going to change things. Well, those who were before us, the ancestors before us, put in the same time, and we still singing they same songs, you know. So we have definitely got to turn the page in the song book. We have definitely got to turn the page and start a new chapter. It's important that we start reaching back. And see, what we've also got to recognize is that it is not the job of the generation behind us to connect with us. It is our job as the elders to connect with them. See, and I think that we have, some of us have gotten to a point where we feel like we get to a certain age, a certain point in life that merits us a certain respect. Well, your actions and what you do is what merits you your respect. And that just goes back to my point earlier when I was saying that we have got to be the example setters. We have got to be the new trend setters. And we are the old minds that used to be the young minds that exist now. So we've got to figure out how to reach these young minds now and keep them captivated as well as motivated, because we can't allow this system to continue to dictate and direct us or our children. And we have effectively given them, for the most part, control. And control by this system means uncontrollable to society. because the system is going to program our youth as they would have them be and as they would have them look. And they have we have been characterized as in our youth as well. So there's always going to be a characterization. There's always going to be that need to represent us as the bad guy, the angry black woman, the mad, beastly animal, savage black man, the big bad black guy. You know, those are the labels that we've been given over time through this systematic building of this society that has never and will never accept us, because we were never meant to be accepted. We were meant to be like horses, like cows, like a dog in the backyard. We were meant to be always maintained, always corralled. And now that we have came out of that, just shows you what kind of people we are, where we come from. And I'm so proud to be who I am and what I am, because this society and this system never meant for us to progress as far as we have. And even though we have still not progressed to potential, we have still progressed farther than they ever thought we would and farther than they ever meant for us to prosper. So what I'm saying in closing is that we need to reaffirm ourselves, self-affirmation, where we are doing what it takes to rebuild community, where we're doing what it takes to rebuild the village, and not only rebuilding it, passing it down to the next generations so they can maintain it, because the village ain't dead. It just hadn't been well maintained. And I'm going to close with that. And I want to thank all my callers, Brother Q, Sister Queenie, Sister Kim, for calling in and helping keep this dialogue going, because it is important that we communicate. We can't change nothing if we not planning nothing, if we not communicating what needs to be changed. So it's important that we start bringing ourselves together where we're at, you know, whatever city, whatever county, whatever state, it doesn't matter. We just all have to start talking the same, excuse me, walking the same, moving the same direction, because water flowing, it only takes 2 inches to move a car, 2 or 3 inches of water flowing in the same direction to move a car, a vehicle. So many inches. We possess that same power. We haven't even tapped into our true power. And that's what we've got to learn how to do. Connect with the source. And the source will lead you and guide you to where you need to go and amongst the right people. So, as I always say, I want to thank all my listeners, my overseas listeners. I want to thank my family, my Activate Radio family in Boston, Mass. I'm sorry, I forgot to mention y'all in the beginning. But I appreciate all y'all that listen and follow me. Once again, I want to thank my callers for calling in, making the dialogue work tonight. Like I say, y'all, let's plan, organize, and unify, because we all have a key. I'm out. I'll see y'all next Monday. This has been the Panther Party Radio Network and the Big Picture with Melvin Siri Jr. Peace, power, and love.
Peace, power, and love.
Homie, I hope you see the big picture, cause everything ain't what it seems. And when you get what you ain't paid for, somebody owe, cause ain't a damn thing free. I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture. I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture. I hope you see the big policy. Somebody get paid just to polish it. Look the devil right in the eyes and won't acknowledge it. For some it's automatic that they turn into some college kids. But my kind won't make it out the hood without a scholarship. Faced with adversity that some will never understand. Why be in denial when you know you had the upper hand? Plan used to rally downtown in my city, and you wonder why the race relationship so shitty. Show no pity, that's the motto of the PC. It ain't just my city, it's all over the TV. Martin Luther King, I think about the dream we had for a nation that turned it less than 6 feet. And I ain't saying that the government sent a hit, but the timing show make it a coincidence. I try to see the big picture through a small frame and never take no wooden nickels when they all change. I hope you see the big picture, cause everything ain't what it seems. And when you get what you ain't paid for, somebody owe, cause ain't a damn thing free. I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture. I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture. I hope you see the big picture's worth a thousand words. So when your words ain't visible, it cause concern. I live and learn to the point where I can see it coming. The loudest mouth in the room ain't really about nothing. That nigga bluffing, check his resume, it ain't legit. You know the one that bought the ocean but ain't got a ship. You know the one that bought the sixes but ain't got a whip. You know the one that bought the tech nine and ain't got a clip. These boys a trip, I done heard it all, seen it all before. Boys be more like shaved ice when they claim they Tony Snow. Say they Don Juan and got passport bitches, but why you in the club with them trash bags with you? Say you out there ballin' and you're coming up quick, but it ain't worth having things if you can't own shit. MC Breeze told you ain't no future, no frontin'. Keep that shit to Birdman with all of that stun. Homie, I hope you see the big picture, cause everything ain't what it seems. And when you get what you ain't paid for, somebody owe, cause ain't a damn thing free. I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture. I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture. I hope you see the big picture.